Welcome to Coffee and Therapy, where we spill the tea on therapy-related topics, sip our favorite coffee, and share our expertise with parents, professionals, clinicians, and anyone who could benefit from a little therapy. Hello, and welcome back to Coffee and Therapy. It's just me, Alyssa, and today we're going to focus on a little mental health few minutes because it is Mental Health Month. And if you remember and have been listening since last year, around this time of year, we did our fabulous episode called Fill Your Cup First. So if you want to check that one out, it is linked in the show notes. And that has some more tips and strategies for incorporating daily self-care into your life. But I wanted to focus this year on Mental Health Month of some tangible tips and strategies that you can use to take a full mental health break in the middle of your day, more than just embracing mental health throughout the day. I think that is a critical first step. But I also know that stressors and life and the work that we do as therapists, parents, educators, is really challenging and puts an impact on us that showing gratitude and joy and self-care embedded throughout the day sometimes isn't enough. And we also need to demonstrate resilience and consistency in our work. So how do we do that? So here are some ideas and resources that you can do in your day to actually give yourself a break and give yourself a mental health minute to reset and re-regulate. So much of my work as a clinician is to teach children how to do this and to do it with them to co-regulate. So I want to help you as well. So the first one is one you've heard time and time again, is taking deep breaths. That is, of course, wonderful, and I know you already know that. So I want to give you a couple different types of breathing techniques that you can use that maybe you haven't done before. So we all know the inhale, smell the flowers, blow out the candle, right? Inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth. A way that you can level that up as well for yourself to get your body more involved in the process so that you're regulating and relaxing that nervous system is a strategy we use in yoga called Ujjayi breathing. So you're going to try to sort of just tense up your throat a little bit. So when you inhale and exhale, it sounds almost like Darth Vader. So when I do this with kids, I call it Darth Vader breathing. So we're going to inhale through the mouth and exhale through the mouth, and you're gonna tighten the back of your throat a little bit and just go. Immediately, it's gonna pull you into the physical with that breath, trying to stop whatever spiraling or thought patterns that are happening in our brain. One of the strategies we always want to use with breathing is to connect that brain and body, but also to get more into and aware of our body so we can stop what's happening in our brain a little bit. And then we can come back to it. So you've got Ujjayi breathing. We also have our inhale, hold, exhale. I call it triangle breathing. So sometimes you'll see this as square breathing. Inhale, hold, exhale, hold. For me, the exhale is just one big hold. So you inhale, hold, exhale on a ha. Vocalizing on that out also is going to give some of that energy, that weight to the emotions that are happening in our brain and put it out externally into the body. Really feeling whatever pressure that is, letting it go with the breath, with the sound, gives you some physical manifestation of control of what you're feeling in your brain. So let's do one more of those. A deep inhale, inhale, hold, exhale on a ha. For me, that low sound really connects me and roots me down into my body, but whatever tone comes out for you could also be reflecting some of what's happening internally. Another breath, your third and final one, if you've heard those two before, maybe this is a new one for you. It's something I've been doing recently, personally, is breathing in and out, but with a little extra breath. So you breathe in through the nose or through the mouth, whatever's comfortable for you. And then through the mouth, you take in an extra quick gasp. And then same out on a ha. And you want your exhale to be longer than your inhale. So if we're doing it rhythmically, we're breathing in, two, three, four, with a gasp. Hold and breathe out for six. Really letting all of that air go. So if you are feeling that panic, that stress, that weight of your day in whatever way it shows up, one of those breathing tips could be helpful. Things we should be incorporating into our day as well when we are overloaded, right? And we're in seasons of life that we know we need to build a little more care for ourselves. I highly recommend once every hour, just getting up and stretching your body in whatever way you physically can or physically want to. So that could be doing a couple of yoga poses. It could be just getting up, stretching your legs out, taking two laps around your office, going the extra long route for a cup of water, and then returning to whatever you need to do or around your house if you're working from home. I know I tend to work mostly remote and I just get so immersed in my work. And because I'm in the comfort of my space, I forget to do these basic things that I need to do to take care of my mental and physical health. So that sort of combines with tip three, make sure you hydrate. I know you know this, it's not reinventing the wheel, but I feel like I need to say it to myself and say it to others quite often, that hydration is so much of a key for who we are as people. So incorporate those two together. Get up, stretch your legs out, take a quick walk, move your body, get that hydration in, and try to incorporate that once every hour or once every two if you just don't have the time. The next tip I have. Now, if you work from home, this might be easier than if you're working in an office, especially if it's in a big corporate building, is to touch the grass with your bare feet. There is so much research that's connected to rooting yourself in the ground and rooting yourself in nature, the evolution of human beings, that we have not advanced as far as society has pushed us. We still have such a deep connection to Earth and the environment. And I say that as someone who is not the biggest fan of nature. I am quite a city girl, but I do at least once a day, especially as this weather gets nicer and summer is coming and we have sunshine and the opportunity to connect with that deeper part of ourselves. Get out there, take your shoes and socks off, and just touch the grass. If you can incorporate that in your stretch lap with some water, amazing. You've put so many tips into place in one movement. The next tip to tip number five, yes, is vitamin D, sunshine. So that could mean, like right now when it's sunny in the US side of the world, to go outside and just get that sunshine in. Get a healthy dose a vitamin D through your skin. I believe, I'll have to fact check this too, we need about 10 minutes of exposure to really get the dose of vitamin D to have it break through the epidermis and be able to absorb it. So take that time out in the sun, soak it up, of course, with safe SPF. When it's the winter time and we are experiencing seasonal affective disorder and so many of those mental health layers come into play right in the middle of winter. I am not a physician, but I highly advise you, if you have access to a primary care physician, to have your labs run in the winter to look at what your vitamin D levels are. If you live in a place like I do where there is no sunshine, your levels could be very low, and that has an impact on our mental and physical health and wellness. So if you've never had that evaluated, I highly recommend looking at those levels because it's a supplement that's pretty accessible and can be really life-changing if that is just a physical ailment that's impacting your overall well-being. Just a few more tips and strategies too to help you. If you struggle with that upholder of self and doing these things that you know you should do, right? I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before and simple strategies people have shared with you. If you need something that's a little more guided and easier to access, I highly recommend an app like the Calm app that has guided meditations and guided breathings. I found it so beneficial for myself and also in my work, in therapy work, because sometimes the kids that I work with need to hear a different voice to also reinforce things that we've been talking about for a long time. And I'm not sure if it's still available, but if you're an educator, the Calm app was free throughout the pandemic to access. So I would go look and see if you have the ability to access the full Calm app for free if you are an educator. Along those same lines of the Calm app, you're going to find meditations and breathing and musical playlists even to help support some mental well-being. I also highly recommend doing some daily affirmations. If you're driving to and from different places of work, those daily affirmations could be something you say to yourself in the car to really pump yourself up and give yourself confidence in all that you do, right? When that imposter syndrome is creeping in or the stress and overload is creeping in, do you have a minute to either say out loud while you're doing what you need to do to yourself, I am, or I can, or I will, or I have, those really critical I statements. If you have a moment even where you can sit quietly and close your eyes and talk to yourself, if anyone has heard of or gone through internal family systems work, really getting into the self and saying to the different pieces of you and your being inside all of those affirmations, because you know, that sneaky part inside might be coming up and saying, this is too hard, or I'm not capable. And we want to try and find those spaces in our body that are holding on to that doubt and that lack of confidence or desire or whatever it is and manifests for you, to talk to those places and say, but I am. Look where I am. Look at the space around me. Look at all of these truths that are showing you what your belief is and what that doubt is are not real. My last two are things I use a lot in my work, and then I use a lot for myself as well. So one is deep pressure. If you have not had a lot of sensory regulation experience, I totally understand that so much of my world as a clinician supporting neurodivergent children, and I've learned a lot about what sensory things I personally need, and also all of the research and evidence of sensory input for children and adults. So deep pressure is providing strong and heavy tactile input to the body, and it is also helping externally regulate the nervous system, which is internally dysregulated. So if we're having a lot of feelings of anxiety and panic and we're overwhelmed, deep pressure can help sort of positively shock our system in the right direction. If you've explored polyvagal theory, which I think we've tapped into on the podcast a little bit, we want to get to that optimal vagal state where our nervous system is regulated, integrated, and talking effectively so that we're not in fight, flight, or freeze mode. And an external support like deep pressure can help us do that. I'm not saying it will 100% work for you, just some guidance and ideas. So that could be a weighted blanket. It could be a compression vest, so something that's more squeezing instead of heavy. It could be a big giant hug where you're being squished around from someone that you feel safe with and that you trust to give you that input. So it, for me, I know it needs to be a big and large space of my body. So I need someone who is tall and strong and big to give me a big squeeze so I can get that equal amounts of pressure across my body to really settle my nervous system when I'm starting to get that internal dysregulation. And it just shocks you back into a more optimal state where then you can proceed to process emotionally what's going on, or maybe do some of these other strategies like breathing or going and getting a drink of water, doing a guided meditation. Sometimes, like I said at the beginning, we have to get into our body first to be able to effectively access our brain. And my last tip is a very music therapist tip, is to make a little relaxation or pump up playlist. So we have this strategy in music therapy that has definitely come up before on the podcast called the ISO principle. And it's the concept that we want to meet our regulation state where we are and then either downregulate or upregulate based on where we want to be. So if we're feeling stress and overloaded and we want to be calm, we're going to meet ourselves in music that are matching the emotional state of anxious or stress. We don't want to push ourselves into more distress or more anxiety, but we want to meet the emotions where they are so that we have a congruent external affect with our internal affect. So if I'm feeling anxious and stressed, I'm moving fast. That might manifest differently for you, but that means I want to meet myself in some fast, loud, you know, music that's just going to bring that energy. And then I'm going to pick songs that slowly decrease the tempo, change the melody, change their structure to lower myself down into that regulated state. And I usually find for me, this takes about 3 songs. So I pick one song that meets me where I am. I pick one song that's sort of in the middle. So it'll be energetic, but maybe a little more relaxing in the melody or in the lyrics. And then I pick a 3rd song that's more my optimal state. And that would be a really quick regulation playlist. Sometimes people need 5 or 10 songs, and you can make your pump up playlist however long that you need or that you have. You can make different playlists for the time period you have, but just another way to externally support the system for what's happening internally. So I highly recommend putting that on your Spotify or whatever app you use for music listening, so you can have it right there when you need it, when you are trying to decrease that stress and really benefit your mental health. I hope those tips are things you can use every day and just set yourself up for success in this work that we do. As a 10-year clinician, 10 year of experience clinician, and you're listening to Sarah and Courtney and Noah on the podcast, who also have been doing this for quite some time, we're seeing so many people leave the field of therapy work because the realities are is that our job's really, really challenging, and there's not quite a way to change that. We are a direct service entity. We have to give ourselves to people all day, every day. We have to hold a lot of space for other people in a way that maybe other careers don't. And those other careers have things they have to do that we don't have to do. Everyone across the board is experiencing a lack of access to their full self in their work. And we're seeing high turnover rates of jobs. We're seeing a high rate of burnout. And we're seeing a lot of people leave the field of therapy specifically because there's no way for them to sustain it. I think to combat that, unfortunately, it falls on us to do the work to figure out how can we set ourselves up for success in the reality of the work that is in front of us. And hopefully building in mental health minutes and those strategies and finding diverse approaches, finding your community to talk to about it, will allow us to do this work for a much longer period of time so we continue to support people who really need it. Thank you for listening, and we will see you, hear you, be with you again in our next episode. But for now, bye. Thanks for listening to Coffee and Therapy. Keep the conversation flowing and follow us over on Instagram at Coffee and Therapy. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Email us coffeeandtherapy@gmail.com. We can't wait for you to listen in again soon.